You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Ewan Murray.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Shubhanka Sharma produces a stunning display to claim a maiden victory at a weather-delayed Joburg Open.
Really happy with myself. I would have liked it to have been finished yesterday. But again, I think whatever happens, happens for the good. And really happy to be the champion.
The win sees the Indian qualifier for the Open Championship alongside runner-up Erik van Rooyen and third place Sean Norris.
Really excited. I feel like a little kid inside, you know. First major championship, something I've played for, you know, we all life, so I'm very much looking forward to it.
As a South African, as any golfer, it's the biggest dream to play in the Open Championship. I'm ecstatic.
We've a full review of the action from South Africa to come, plus we'll speak exclusively to recent qualifying school winner Sam Horsfield. Hello, I'm Robert Lee and I'm joined by Ewan Murray. Ewan, just before Christmas, time for somebody to shine, and we've got a new winner on the European Tour.
Wonderful. And 21 years of age and coming from India, following on from the likes of Jeev Milka Singh and Shiv Kapoor, he is the new era from that part of the world.
Yeah, 5-shot lead. Ordinarily, you might think, well, that's pretty unassailable, but actually, it can be a nasty lead to have.
Especially when you have a delay on the Sunday and you have to go back to your hotel room and sleep on that lead. Keep everything going along in the mind, keep everything ticking over. You'd expect an experienced professional to be able to achieve that. Maybe somewhere of 21 you wouldn't, but he did it in great style.
If he hadn't realised on the golf course at the time, once players had been suspended, he would have found out that Rooyen was making a move with the birdies at 3, 4, 5, 7 and a tap-in to come at 9.
Yes, if the round had been completed, he would have seen that also. But you've also got other things to think about then. He would have taken these thoughts back to his hotel room. He would have slept on that lead. For an experienced player, maybe slightly easier than an inexperienced player, and yet came out and showed no weakness whatsoever.
Who do you think would have most liked out of those two to have continued playing the way things were going in that final round, Van Rooyen or Shubhanka?
Both of them. You get to a stage where your concentration levels are at their height. The adrenaline flow is at their height as well. And I think they would have liked to have kept going there and kept the rhythm moving along. Very difficult to stop and then switch the tap on again and hopefully things will be the same as the day before.
And of course at stake was not only the win and the money that comes with that and the race to the buy points, but the exemption and, crucially, Ewan, a spot in the Open Championship.
And all that before the end of 2017. He's got 7 months to look forward to Carnoustie, one of the great open venues. And what a wonderful week that will be for him. He'll want to keep performing from now until then. And of course, he's going now to get plenty of chances, whereas perhaps he wouldn't have done without this victory.
And that group of Indian players that are playing golf around the world, that's growing. It's getting bigger.
It is. It's like the Chinese. We were looking back at the year and talking of Hai Tong Lee, Chinese players now beginning to come through and not just play well, but perform in big events. And of course, that's the next step for this young man.
Massive week and a massive field in Joburg. Two courses and 240 players.
Yeah, not easy for the officials, not easy for the players. And of course, to accommodate that, you need very good weather. And Joburg at this time of the year gets these late afternoon storms. And I thought they did extremely well to get it finished before lunchtime Monday.
Ram Park is probably somewhere you've played, is it?
Yes, I was down there when Retief Hussain won the South African Open in 2000. Darren Fickard just missed his little pitch at the last, just came up shy there. Great golf course, great golfing facility, and of course a lot of history attached to it as well.
How much do the players like going down to South Africa?
This time of the year, why wouldn't you want to do that? Coming in here early this morning and it's -4 and the snow's falling, South Africa is very appealing.
Yeah, and of course, once we start the new season, well, we continue the new season after Christmas into the new year, we're going to South Africa again.
Yeah, they've been great supporters of the European Tour. And of course, they've got so many fine courses down there. Lots of new courses that are built a little bit more American style, but places like Rand Park, places like Royal Johannesburg and Kensington, where we've been in the past, very old-fashioned African golf courses and very pleasant to play.
So a debut victory for the Indian, and I'm delighted to say that Shubhanka Sharma joins us on the Race to Dubai show now. Shubhanka, how do you feel after the big breakthrough win for yourself?
Thank you for having me. It feels great. It's my first win overseas, and I think couldn't have come at a better time. The year's about to end, and put in a lot of hard work this year, and I'm really, really stoked to, you know, actually get a win.
You've won 5 times on various tours across the world. You had to wait for this latest victory. How much did the overnight delay play on your mind?
Yeah, I've won 5 times on the Indian tour, and I mean, obviously, I would have loved if we could have finished yesterday, but obviously the weather didn't permit that, and I was a bit nervous last night, to be honest. It's not easy to sleep when you're leading by a few shots, because even when you're chasing someone, you don't really have anything to lose. But when you're leading, it's not easy to protect your lead. So I was a bit nervous, to be honest, even though I didn't look nervous, but I was a bit nervous. But I'm really happy that I could do it in the morning, and I could play really well. I think I played pretty good on the back nine, made some really key par saves, and I'm really happy that I could steal the lead.
When you got to the golf course today and started clipping a few balls on the range, did you say to yourself, oh yeah, that, I'm back in the old routine, that feels pretty good, or ooh, I didn't like that one?
Yeah, I mean, in fact, till the time I got to the golf course, I was very nervous, but when I got to the range and I hit a few shots, I got into the groove, and I felt really comfortable. And in fact, I would say today was the best striking day that I had compared to the last 4 days, even though I missed a few greens in the morning. But I had a really good practice session in the morning. I was hitting it really good, and that gave me a lot of confidence to go out there and play well.
The foundation of your victory was set up with the second round 61. I suspect some of the finest golf you've ever played?
Yes, that is the best score that I've ever shot, a 61. I've shot a 62 once before. That was a 10 under par as well, but that was last year in the Philippines. But I matched my best round, it was spotless. I didn't make a bogey. So I was very happy to get a little low number, because I shot a 3-under on the first day. And when I saw the scores, it didn't look like 3-under was going to make it. So I knew I had to go low on the second day as well. And I was very happy to come up with that number.
We need you to enjoy that victory. But, of course, you've now qualified for the Open Championship at Kurnosi. What does that mean to you?
It means the world to me. I mean, the Open Championship is my favorite major, and it has been since I've started playing golf. I always wanted to go and play the Open Championship, and I obviously followed the Open Championship on television for the past 10 years. I've seen Tiger win, I've seen Patrick Harrington do it, Rory do it. And, I mean, it hasn't still sunk in yet, but it'll be great when I'm at Kurnosi next year.
Are you on social media, Shubhankar?
Yes, I am on social media. I'm on Instagram as Shubhankar2196. So, and I'm on Facebook as well.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering, after your victory, has it gone bananas from golf fans in India?
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of messages. I've got almost 300 messages from back home, and I've just been, since I finished, I've just been, messaging people and thanking everyone. But yeah, I've enjoyed a lot of support back home, and, not only in India, even here this week in South Africa, I had a lot of support. I had a lot of people rooting for me and cheering me up. So I was very lucky that day, and I'm really happy about how things went this week.
21, you're a young man. Who did you idolize when you were growing up?
Tiger Woods. Tiger was, and I'm sure you get that answer a lot, and because Tiger has been obviously such a big inspiration to so many golfers around the world, and I'm no different. Even when I started golf, I knew nothing about golf, but I knew who Tiger Woods was. So Tiger has been a great inspiration, and obviously from India we have Jeev Milkha Singh, who's won 5 times on the European Tour, and I'm from the same city as Jeev, I stay in Chandigarh, so I just got a message from him about 2 hours ago congratulating me, and he's been a great inspiration for all the Indian golfers.
Where did you learn your swing, Shubhankar?
I've had the same coach for the past 9 years. His name is Jesse Grewal, back home in Chandigarh, so pretty much worked with him. So I would say he's taught me everything.
That's fantastic. So you've got a little rest now before we get to the continuation of the European Tour in 2018. A little rest. What are you going to do?
I actually don't get any rest, because I'm playing next week in Indonesia, which is an Asian Tour event. I have a flight tonight, and I'll get there tomorrow, and tournament starts on a Thursday. So I have that event, and I have one more event left back home in India before Christmas and New Year's.
And then, of course, after Indonesia, you have a rest, I hope.
After Indonesia, I have one more event back home in India.
Really?
A tour event.
Really?
I have one more event left. And it's a season ender for us back home in India. So, and I've had a sponsor spot for that event. So it wouldn't look good if I pull out. So I'm going to go and play there. And after that, I might come back for the South African Open, I think, in second week of, or probably the first week of Jan. So I'll have about a week off.
So next year, are you going to be pretty much stitched to the European Tour? Are you going to try and play three tours? What's your plan?
I don't know if I'll play that much on the Sunshine Tour, but I will play on the Asian and the European Tour. I do still want to stick to the Asian Tour. I will still play a lot of events there, but obviously I will play in whatever I get into on the European Tour. I do want to play all the big events. And now that I will get into them, I will, you know, that will be my priority.
We'll look forward to seeing you at all of these events that you choose to play in 2018. And congratulations. It's a remarkable achievement for such a young man.
Thank you so much.
Well done, Shubhankar. Great to talk to you, and we'll see you, well, after you're not taking much of a rest. At least have Christmas Day off, and then we'll see you in 2018.
Absolutely. I'll see you in 2018. Thank you so much.
Take care. Thank you very much.
Have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Well, obviously, Ewan Shubhankar absolutely thrilled with his breakthrough win on the European Tour at a very early part of his career. He's only 21, the youngest Indian winner on the European Tour. Anirban Lahiri is the next youngest at 27 years of age, so he's beat that by some margin.
Yes, and Arjun Atwal, another fine player from India, he took a little time to reach his very best, but 21 years of age and you're a winner in the European Tour, start of the season, fully exempt, so much to look forward to.
And how about this? He only met his caddy on the Monday of the event.
That can often happen. You don't expect much from it. You both pitch up on the first tee on Thursday. You're still trying to get to know one another. You respect one another. There's no scar tissue or nothing like that from tournaments that have gone by before. But to the both of them, it must have been a tremendously special moment on that final green.
Well, to the rest of the leaderboard now. And as said, Erik van Rooyen, second place, and Sean Norris finished a tie for third. It was enough to see them qualify for the 2018 Open Championship at Carnoustie. Let's get some reaction from the South African pair, starting with van Rooyen.
It's pretty crazy to think about it. Really excited. I feel like a little kid inside, you know. It's your first major championship, something I've played for, you know, my whole life. So I'm very much looking forward to it. I mean, if you look at the names on this trophy, I was looking at early, you know, you've got Ben Hogan. I mean, just legends of the game. So just playing in this tournament is going to be phenomenal. Thoughts that come to mind, you know, Sergio and Harrington. And I think Harrington's ball still jumping over the burn and all that. So those kind of things come to mind. And you know, having the opportunity to be in a similar situation, you know, obviously it's my first major, so I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I can picture, you know, coming down the stretch in that position and the opportunity to win a major championship. It's incredible, so I can't wait.
You know, as a South African, as any golfer, I think it's the biggest dream to play in the Open Championship. So, you know, I'm ecstatic. Not just me, my brother, my family, we all so excited to do it again, and you know what, looking forward to it. You know, as any golfer, I think it's the one trophy we'd all like to raise. Hopefully all works out and we'll see what happens.
Do you remember you and your first Open Championship?
Yes, I do. 1973, Royal Troon. I was 18 years of age.
God, I was only three then. Not. I was 13 then. 73. And what was it like?
It was astonishing because Johnny Miller was at the height of his playing career. Miller finished second in the end to Tom Weisskopf, one of the best ball-striking players I think you'd ever see. The interesting thing about 73 was it was the last time the small ball was played, the 1.62 diameter. From 1974 at Lytham, we went to the 1.68. But I remember holing out, I think it was a Saturday rather than a Sunday finish then, and I holed out in the final green and I felt like I'd won the lottery. £235.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And of course, Johnny Miller was in fantastic form, wasn't he? A month before, 63 at Oakmont. So he was the man. So for you to experience that and the crowds, I think that's the thing when you get to your first Open, is the size of the crowds.
Yes, and that iconic yellow and black scoreboard just stands out from miles and miles away. Neil Coles, incidentally, finished second alongside Johnny Miller.
And still looks the same today and hits the balls the same today, Neil Coles. He's absolutely phenomenal.
Yes, pushing towards 80, a great man of the European Tour and may have many years hitting the ball down the middle of fairways.
Always been a flusher, Neil. He's always been a flusher. Challenge to a Race to Oman winner, Tapio Pulkkinen, was the other man to finish tied third. So how does he reflect on his week?
Yeah, I'm very happy for the first 2 days and the last day as well. Second day was a little bit not so great, but really nice week. I think I'm pleased how I handled myself in the pressure in the last hole. So I made some good putts in the end. Really happy for that. it's been a long season on Challenge Tour. It was a lot of tournaments in the end, so it's going to be a nice break.
I know he's disappointed. He lost on a count back, if you like, on his world rankings for his spot in the Open. But for Pulkkinen, who won the race to Oman, he spoke to us on the show a couple of weeks ago, Ewan. He said his ace in the hole when he plays golf is the distance he hits it. It's a big weapon for him, and he does crank it out there.
Well, he's got plenty of opportunity to open his shoulders up, and he's got more opportunities to make the Open Championship proper before the final qualifying begins. Good finish from him, good start to the season.
Yes, and a fellow Scandinavian, Christopher Blomstrand, had a chance with a couple of birdies in the last four holes, I think, to shoot 59.
62 in the third round, which followed rounds of 70 and 68. Slipped a bit on the final round with a round of 75, but that's all part of learning. He's only just come on to the tour via the qualifying school, so hopefully he'll get plenty of chances between now and spring and maybe have the opportunity to go a bit higher than the eighth place he finished.
But isn't it great for Pulkkinen and for Blomstrand, who've qualified to get out on tour, that in their sort of early excursions into tour life, they play well straight away?
Well, you mentioned 240 players, a great opportunity for many of these players to get a start on the European Tour. And when you get that chance, you have to make the most of it, and they've certainly done that. There'll be further chances for them, no doubt, down in South Africa in January. There'll be opportunities in Oman and Qatar as we move into February, and that's what they have to focus on. Get the points on the board early, claim these rankings, and then try and push their way into the top 100.
Well, as we're talking about top, not 100s, it's top 10 from the Joburg Open, please, Ewan.
There was a five-way tie in eighth. We've already mentioned Blomstrand then. Alongside him was Choi of Korea, Charlie Ford of England, Daniel Green, another player from the Republic of South Africa, and the very talented American there, Paul Peterson. James Morrison finished in a tie for sixth alongside Joachim Hansen, and Salford's Marcus Armitage finished in fifth place. Rookie of the Year on the EuroPro Tour back in 2013. He's not that young at 30 years of age, but fine performance from Marcus. Pulkkinen in tie for third alongside the veteran South African Sean Norris. Van Rooyen in second place, but this week was all about Shubhankar Sharma. It's going to be a difficult one to pronounce that in future weeks, but it's one we're going to have to learn.
Yeah, Shubhankar Sharma, tremendous. Now, remember to go to European Tour Twitter and Facebook pages to see the best shots of the week from the Joburg Open, as well as other great content. In the Fancy Race to Dubai tips, I went for George Kurtsia, who tied for 30th, and Sam Horsfield, who missed the cut. You think that's not very impressive? Well, John Hawksworth went for Louis Oosthuizen, who didn't play, and Anders Hansen, who missed the cut. So it wasn't a very good tipping week, and probably time for us all to rest before we start tipping in 2018. Oosthuizen was unable to tee it up at his home event because he got his finger jammed in a luggage trolley at the airport right before the tournament. The subsequent swelling left the 2010 Open champion unable to properly grip a club, so he was forced to withdraw. That's very unfortunate, but and the years, over the years, Ewan, it's littered with funny, freaky events.
It is, and you look at all the training they do today, all the hours they spend in the gym, and I don't think I've ever had so many players injured throughout the course of a season. Tiger Woods, obviously, a different thing, a very serious injury he had there, but every week there seems to be something, either a sore thumb or a bad wrist or a stiff back or a stiff neck or whatever. I don't know why that is. It's golf, after all.
It is top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, please, Ewan. We are already ploughing a furrow into 2018.
The fine performance in Joburg from Erik van Rooyen means he gets into the top 10 in 10th place. Jordan Zunick in 9th. Then we have a three-way tie in 6th there between Rafael Cabrera-Bao, Alexander Bjork, one of the stars of 2017, and another one alongside him, Julian Suri, who got his maiden victory in the 17 season. Paul Peterson, very strong start to 2018. Cameron Smith won the Australian PGA. Dylan Fratelli won in Mauritius. Shubhankar Sharma won in Joburg. But out in front is the man from down under, Wade Ormsby, who enjoyed a fine victory over at Fanling in Hong Kong.
Yes, he did. Now, in other news, Sergio Garcia has been named the Hilton European Tour Golfer of the Year for 2017 after winning three tournaments, including most notably his first major championship at the Masters in April. Garcia enjoyed victories either side of his achievements at Augusta, the Omega Dubai Desert Classic in February, and after his home tournament at the Andalucía Valderrama Masters in October. So a stellar year for Sergio, and a major win that we'll all remember long into the distance.
Amazing, it took him 74 major championships to achieve that victory, but not just a great year for Garcia on the golf course, off it was pretty good as well, getting married there and, of course, expecting their first child in the spring of 2018. So right now, life couldn't be better for Sergio Garcia.
Mini Nino on the way.
Exactly.
Fantastic. Well, the man who pushed Sergio all the way at Augusta, Justin Rose, has been announced as the next host of the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports. The Olympic champion chose Walton Heath in Surrey as the venue, and the event will take place in October in 2018. Great golf course, Ewan Murray, one you know very well.
Yes, I was there for 16 years, five of these years as assistant professional to Harry Button, one of the great club makers down the years. Two golf courses designed by Herbert Fowler, and they're only 2 years apart, the old and the new. It's going to be a composite course, I believe, of both of these courses. One of the toughest golf courses they'll play on the European Tour next year. Also one of the fairest. And at the end, like we have done over the course of the last 3 years, we'll have a fine champion on the Sunday.
Yeah, it's really looking forward to that one next autumn. Now, finally, some sad news this week after it was announced that Tommy Haughton, one of the most influential and respected players in the development of both the European Tour and the European Senior Tour, has passed away at the age of 76. The two-time Ryder Cup player enjoyed a celebrated career spanning more than half a century after turning professional in 1957, winning 8 times on the European Tour and 23 times on the Senior Tour. He also won the John Jacobs Trophy as the Senior Tour's number one player on a record 5 occasions. And in 2012, he was awarded honorary life membership with the European Tour in recognition of his outstanding contribution to the game as a player, revered coach and long-term administrator, having served on the European Tour Board of Directors and then the Senior Tour Committee for 22 years. Tommy Ewan was a fine man and a person you knew very well.
Yes, he was part of a team I was in when I was 18 years of age, and when I went to play in my first tournament site in Africa, you had to have a chaperone, or a guardian, as it was known then. And Di Reese was given that job, but Tommy Haughton took over. I didn't see much of Di Reese. And Tommy became a lifelong friend. And I saw him at the memorial of John Jacobs in the middle of last year at Winchester Cathedral and shook his hand warmly. A player who gave everyone the most precious thing you can give in life, and that was his time. He was a very special person. He was a wonderful player. You look back at the Jewel in the Sun in 1977 and you can remember Nicklaus and you can remember Watson coming down there, going head-to-head and both birding the final hole. Tommy was tucked in behind them. He was in the top five and it was one of 4 top 10 finishes he had in the Open Championship. But he'll be remembered as a gentleman of the game, and he was a very special friend.
Thank you, Ewan. Well, there's no tournament to preview this week as the European Tour takes a break over the festive period. The next event will be the BMW South African Open, hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni in mid-January. And as the season pauses for a short time, we thought we'd reflect on the recent drama at the Q School, where Englishman Sam Horsfield won by a staggering 8 shots to gain his card in Spain. And I'm delighted to say that Sam joins us now on the Race to the Bye show. Sam, first of all, let's talk about the Joburg Open. That's just finished this morning. What was it like for you?
It's my first time in South Africa, and, you know, I played pretty good. I just had a kind of a poor finish the second round, you know, but you learn from all these experiences and being out there with these guys who are really good at golf. You know, it's only going to make me better, and I'm looking forward to the upcoming year.
Are you an international man? Do you think you're going to enjoy getting your passport out and seeing different parts of the world?
Yeah, I haven't done much traveling, you know, outside the country until recently. And, you know, I enjoyed it at last. I had a 10-hour, 45-minute flight from Joburg to London and then 9.5 hours back here to Orlando the other day. You know, but I enjoy it. I mean, playing the game that I enjoy to play is, you know, I don't think you can ask for a lot more.
Sam, one place you don't want to go to is a qualifying school. It's got a very different atmosphere about it. But you won there by 8 shots. Did you ever envisage going so well that week?
The second stage, I played well, but I had kind of a rough finish. You know, and I actually birdied my last hole to get to a playoff or final stage. So then I got through the playoff. And then final stage, you know, it's such a grind. It's so long. It's 6 days. And I remember telling my caddy after the third round, I was like, you know, normally we're almost done with a golf tournament and we're not even halfway done yet. You know, so it was a long grinding week. But on the other side of it, you can get into a rhythm, which is what I did. I remember I added up how many greens I missed. Out of 108 holes, I only missed 15 greens. So, you know, I left myself a lot of opportunities. And, you know, on a week like that, you don't really want to have too much stress, you know. So I think that, you know, being patient and just letting it happen instead of trying to force it, if you kind of get off to a bad start. And, you know, it was obviously, I don't think anybody in my team could have asked for a better week, to be honest with you.
You know, when you're 21 and you make your way onto the tour, it used to be that if you could hang around for 2 or 3 years, you could sort of serve your apprenticeship and then think about winning. But as you've seen, Shabanker, who's 21, won last week in Joburg, and then you see the exploits of Spieth and Thomas and all the young bucks that are out there. It's almost like, for you, if you're fancied as a player, you've almost got to do it straight away. How does it feel to you?
Yeah, I think that the college system in America has, helped everybody, our generation. You know, the competition and the level of golf in college golf is unbelievable. And, you know, I think that all comes from, the year 2000 when Tiger was dominating, and everybody saw, you know, Tiger dominating the game of golf and saw how much publicity he was getting. And I just think that people wanted to get to where he was. And, you know, I don't know if there'll ever be another Tiger like the year he had. But I think that these younger guys, you know, the college system and, you know, all these golf federations have prepared us and, you know, other people like me to be able to go out there on tour and, you know, win. I finished 21st or 22nd in Mauritius 2 weeks ago. And, I felt like I didn't play my best, and I felt like I could compete. And, you know, when you're 21 years old and, you know, you're playing on these big tours and you feel like that, it can only be a good sign, you know.
Well, you've got a lot of tournaments ahead of you, and you formed a close friendship with Ian Poulter. Tell us how that came about.
So I actually, a guy that he went to school with, his name's Mark Horton, and it was a tournament at my home golf course, and he was on holiday over here in America, and it was like 7-8 years ago. And he came out and watched me, and, you know, he started talking to my dad, and he then introduced me to his caddy, Terry Mundy, who is now managing me, actually. And then a few weeks later, me and Ian played, and, you know, ever since then, we've had a good friendship. You know, him and Terry have helped me out so much with, you know, what to expect on the next level of the game, you know, not only from top amateur golf, which is professional golf, but, you know, through all the ranks, junior to higher level junior tournaments and stuff like that. And I don't know where I would be today without their help, you know, but obviously someone who is like that, you know, it can never be a bad thing that they're on your side and that they're helping you out.
Sam, you're English, but you lived a long part of your young life in the United States. Which will you consider your home tour to be?
I don't know if I can answer that question. You know, I just like competing, playing golf, and just seeing where the game takes me. Like I said earlier, I really enjoy the traveling. I know it's a lot being away from home for months at a time, but when you're 21, really, it's not that big of a deal, you know. You know, I've never been to 4 or 5 of the countries that I've been to in the last 3 months. So, you know, I got all my friends from college are in school and studying, and I'm playing in these big tournaments in all these cool places. You know, I don't really have much to complain about.
You've plenty of tournaments to look forward to. Anyone in particular that may turn out to be one of your favorites?
I don't know. I haven't really thought about that. I think it's in February or March. That's going to be a cool trip, even though it's like the exact opposite side of the world from where I'm from. But it'll be fun, and you know, like I said, I enjoy the travel, and just to see where I end up is going to be. Giving me a lot of fun. I'm just enjoying every moment of it.
Sam, are you a target setter?
I have little targets in my mind that I like to achieve. You know, and obviously, I think that I believe, and you know, everybody in my team believes in my golf ability. You know, especially after, you know, the way that I played at Q School, and you know, having the ability to get my tour card and be able to give myself a lot of tournaments play in and kind of be able to plan a schedule is what was my main goal coming out of when I finished my second year of college at UF. I wanted to be able to play somewhere and, you know, be able to have a schedule. So being able to do that and have the ability to play in a lot of tournaments throughout the year, and, you know, I feel like my game is ready, and like I said, I'm just looking forward to seeing where this game takes me.
It seems to me that Orlando's home for you. Where did you go to school?
I went to high school at Ridge Community High School, and then I did two years of college at University of Florida, the Gators.
So you're a Gator, are you?
Yes, I am.
What is it? Go Gators. What is the phrase?
It's exactly what it is. Go Gators.
Okay. Well, listen. Never mind. Go Gators. Go Sam Horsfield in 2018. A fantastic performance from you to win the Q School, Sam. And we're really looking forward to watching your progress in the coming 12 months.
Thank you, and thanks, guys, for having me.
You know, it's great to hear you in from a young kid who's just got it all before him. We know he's got game. You win the Q School, you're a good player. It's got to be an exciting place to be.
Well, to win it by 8 shots, I think, is quite astonishing. And we've had a 21-year-old winner down in Johannesburg. We've got a 21-year-old here ready to take on the world. I wish we could roll back the years and start again.
Well, of course, this is the last event before we get to 2018 and the turn of the new year. The next event on the European Tour will be down in South Africa at the city of Ekurhuleni, the South African Open, sponsored by BMW. So we're all looking forward to that. And so will all the people we've been talking to, getting ready after the sort of, you know, the pork has been digested and the stuffing's gone through the system. Eventually, you want to get back out there.
Well, that's right. They're looking forward to some time with their families, which they deserve, the amount of miles they travel throughout the course of the year. And you're right, by the time the bad weather continues into January, South Africa will be the spot.
It will be very appealing indeed. Your closing thought of 2017, your highlight, Ewan?
There are so many highlights. The introduction of the Rolex series proved to be a tremendous success. First seven of them, seven different winners before John Rahm won his second Rolex Series event in Dubai. There's Tommy Fleetwood being the European number one. There's Sergio Garcia winning a Masters after 74 attempts. And for me, the event of the year on the European Tour was the Italian Open over at Monza, at Milano Golf Club. We had Appy Barnrat coming down there. We had Matt Wallace, who had just come off the Challenge Tour, the qualifying school, the year before. And we had Tyrrell Hatton trying to win for the second time. Putt of the year goes to Tyrrell Hatton, but still shot of the year for me would be Spieth's tee shot at 14 at Royal Birkdale.
Yeah, that par 3 to get it all going, get the birdie and eagle run going, it was quite extraordinary. A fantastic season on the European Tour 2017. So much to look forward to next year. We've got all the majors, all the WGCs, all the Rolex series, and I'm really looking forward to the Shot Clock Masters in Austria.
Yeah, that should quicken things up a little.
Yeah, we'll do. That's it for now. Next week, we'll have a very special edition of the Race to Dubai show where we will look back at the 2017 European Tour season, so make sure you join us for that one. Until then, you can stay up to date with the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. And if you've enjoyed the show, please don't forget to rate and review it on iTunes. But for now, from Ewan Murray.
Goodbye.
And myself, Robert Lee, we'll see you next time.